listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Begay on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. What a glorious day our good Lord has provided for all of us. I am having a wonderful day on this magnificent planet we call Earth. Our show today is going to be extremely educational. I'm excited. We've got two great guests here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC. We're heard on FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and all over the web on WWBC. All you have to do is hit WWBC. You'll see a little tiny button that says Listen Live, and you can listen live to our show. As usual, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends has two co-hosts, but today Ellen is off, so Allie Tambor is here. Thank you for co-hosting, Allie.
Thank you. This is great. I got promoted for a moment.
You know, it's always nice to have you on the show. You add such a great perspective to us. You've been around on planet Earth much longer than I have, and you are a voice of reason and experience, and I appreciate it.
Thank you. That's very sweet. I appreciate that, too. That makes me feel yummy.
I always learn something. So, as usual, our show, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, it's fun, it's unscripted, it's very educational, and we have very interesting guests. Whether you're learning to save money or spend money or learn how to have a credit card and not send it up too much, or you want to run for office, maybe you want to talk about the environment, maybe you care about children, whatever it is, our show gives you a platform to come on and speak in a very responsible manner and get heard. Today's no different. Our guest in studio is Mr. Robert Barnes, and he is the founder of the Aspiration Academy Brevard. Welcome to our show.
Delighted to be here.
You're another person that every time you come to the show, we learn something.
Well, thank you.
You're like our friend Claire Ellis, a volunteer of the world. And our guest who's calling in today is a lovely lady that I met, as usual, Allie, online.
Yeah.
She is a best-selling author. She is a human resources guru. And she is going to be calling in to talk about her book, Leading from Within. And I think she's already on the phone, but before we go to Cassandra Watts, I just want to say, you know, Allie, you and Ellen and I sit here, we're going on 14 years. And we try to have a voice on community radio. And so I think sometimes we don't thank the people who are with us. So thank you and thank Ellen.
Yes, and you too, darling. And you look amazing today.
Oh, with the new haircut?
Yes, I love it.
You know, it's amazing how now you understand why they want women to cover their hair sometimes. Because your hair, really, in the Hindu religion, they told us our hair was our beauty.
Yes.
And so we would grow our hair long and braid it and sometimes put it up in a bun and wash it, and it looked great. But you're right, when I went to the beauty salon, the lady was like, I can't believe you're 59 years old. Well, I'm like, well, you know, it's hair coloring and
yes,
jeans.
But there's texture and that sort of thing, too, that makes a difference. And,
yeah, but
and,
it does make a difference,
doesn't
it?
All of that, yeah.
Well, you know what it is? It's all about self-care.
Yes.
You've got to take care
That's
of yourself
right.
before you could take care of others.
Exactly.
And I was going to a big gala in Fort Lauderdale, and I wanted to look smashing, and so I figured I'll do a little self-care. But our guest is on. She's calling in, and let's talk a little bit with Cassandra. Cassandra is currently the Director of Human Resources at Covenant Living Communities in Turlock, California. She has an MBA from NYIT and a BBA from Faulkner University. and she served on a lot of boards, and she's also a best-selling author. So I'll have her tell us about herself. Cassandra, thank you for taking the time to call in, and am I correct, you're calling in from California?
I am calling in from California. How are you?
Well, your voice is coming across loud and booming, and I feel like you're sitting right next to me, which is great.
That's great.
It means our station is doing its job.
Absolutely.
So I know I was so excited to finally get you on the show because we had talked about this. My goodness, I looked at the first email I had sent to you, and it was like 4 or 5 months ago. So thank you for waking up early and calling in on our show.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really, really appreciate it, and I'll be looking forward to it as well.
All right. Well, Ali Tambor is here, and we have an in-studio guest. His name is Mr. Bob Barnes, and I was telling him a little bit about you because he is a founder of Aspiration Academy. He tutors and assists so many children here in Brevard after school and does a lot of fun stuff with them. So he'll be listening, and he can jump in anytime he wants, as well as Ali. So I love your motto. You say, in order to see the best people, you need to be the best for people. I love that.
Absolutely.
And I feel like
Absolutely.
I know you already just by that.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell our listeners here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends a little bit about your background.
Well, I've been in HR for over 20 years. I love HR. I love working with people. I love mentoring. And my passion is leadership, and therefore that's the reason why I wrote the book, Leading From Within, Leading With a Passion, because I do feel like if you are a leader, you need to lead with passion. You need to have passion about anything that you do. And I think that being a leader, I saw a quote the other day, and it said something to the effect of, you know, you create leaders so that people can't tell that you're the leader. So in essence, you mentor people, you train people, so if you're not there, they don't know if they're the leader or not. They just know that they're getting great service. So, you know, being a leader is more than just having those external skills. It's having, you know, things that you were brought up with, you know, the teamwork, the integrity, the communication, all of those things to me makes an effective leader. So my passion is leadership. My passion is teaching. My passion is training others and helping others.
Yeah, when I saw what you wrote, you know, leading from within, I said, well, wow, this woman has found her sense of purpose. You have become something that's bigger than yourself. So how did you come up with the title for your book?
I did being a leader and having leaders that were effective and some that were ineffective. You know, you sit down and you wonder, okay, what is the issue? Why were they ineffective? And then I took a look at myself, because that's what the book is about. It's about looking at you, yourself, internally. What is it that makes you a great leader, an effective leader internally? So I took a look at all of that and things that I've gone through my entire career, and I said, you know what? It takes, you know, something that's within you, that's inside of you, not your external skills, not how many degrees you have, not how many years of experience you have, because you can have all of those things and still be an ineffective leader. So I came up with that title just by looking at what makes a leader great, what makes an effective leader. And it's everything that you have inside yourself. It's the relationship building. It's, you know, inspiration, it's motivation, those are the things. And if you're unable or incapable of motivating others, teaching others, mentoring others, that's, to me, that's not an effective leader.
I agree.
That's basically how I came up with the title of the
Cassandra,
book.
Cassandra, so your purpose of writing the book was to try to get people to look inward to build more leaders?
Absolutely, absolutely. Because if you are an effective leader, you are leading to create leaders.
I agree.
You're not leading just to give, you know, direct orders to anyone or anything like that. You are you're creating, you want to create leaders, people that will follow in your footsteps, because that's going to tell everyone else what type of leader you are that you were. So it's assessing yourself. This book is all about assessing yourself. Am I that effective leader? Looking at your internal equity, so to speak. You know, it's a combination of your internal and external skills. However, but what defines your leadership ability?
Yeah.
And it's basically, to me, it is a combination of both, but to me, it's more so what's inside.
Right, and it really feels good to contribute while being a leader and watching the connections you make with other people and how you help them to grow as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because if you didn't do that, I mean, where would we get our leaders from? If you look at it, where would you get your leaders from?
Girl, you need to take your leadership skills to Washington, D.C. We have a lot of people that need some leadership role playing up there.
Yeah, but the students need to be also wanting that information, or at least understanding that they probably need it.
Yeah. Well, you know, do you happen to be a firstborn by any chance? Because I find that being a firstborn girl child from my parents, that I developed a lot of leadership skills just by the mere fact of the birth order of being the eldest and having to do this and do that and do the other. And my siblings looked up to me, and I found that I was actually a natural born leader.
Absolutely. I was the firstborn. And
too.
I did all of those things.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can feel it in you. And when you speak, I'm like, wait a minute, she's talking like me. But, you know, it's like people tell you all the time to lead by example, right? They say if you want your children to read, you read with them. If you don't want to consume excessive alcohol, well, don't do that with your kids. If you want to lose weight and walk, you do that. Your family will see it. But oftentimes it becomes just a phrase that people say, lead by example, but they don't really do it. And why do you think that happens?
Well, I think it's because, number one, you know, again, you have to have those inner qualities in order to lead by example, because there are some leaders who, you know, they want to be great leaders, they want to be effective leaders, but how do you do that? What is it that I do? Some people are natural born leaders because of, just like you said, of how they were, you know, brought up, how they were raised. However, there are some leaders that want to be good leaders, but they don't know how to do that. So the book, my book, is basically assessing you yourself and how do I do that? What things do I need to do better? What things do I need to overcome? What things do I need to take a look at internally in order to lead by example? Because people will only follow you if they feel that they, number one, can trust you.
Yes.
Number two, that you know what you're talking about and that you're going to deliver what you said that you were going to deliver. But if they see the opposite, no matter how many degrees you have, no matter how many years of experience you have, they're not going to follow you. Your communication, all of that involves being a great leader. How you communicate, how you build relationships, or if you build relationships. So I always tell everyone that when you're going into a new organization, or even if you're going into a new relationship, it doesn't matter. The first thing is you want to build that relationship. You need to build that trust. If someone trusts you, you can bet that they are going to follow you. So that is my mantra of leading, you know, leading and passion of leading. And leading by example.
Cassandra, we need to make sure that somewhere in here we put in your website information. Could you give that to us so that we can follow up with more stuff with you?
Yes, I do have a, not the website's not complete yet, but I do have a Facebook where I post everything about my book. And it is under my name, or you can find it by searching Leading From, the name of the book, Leading From Within, Leading With a Purpose.
Right. So you're currently one of the founding members of the Modesto Professional Women for Good. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And a network for professional women in Modesto who want to make a bigger impact together. But do you find, as you meet women from all over the world and right there in California and the United States, that sometimes, like you say, it's not the degree, right? It's like not, it's not what we say, but it's how we say it.
Absolutely.
Oftentimes it's like the words you use, the messaging you use. So expand a little bit about that, because we've got so many people that we know, we see them on cable news, we hear about them on newspapers, they write books as well, but they don't seem to make that contact with the public the way you have.
Well, I think it all is about, you're absolutely correct, it's how you communicate it. And, you know, sometimes we can communicate things that are over the top. Like, I would say, well, you know, we're not looking at our audience. We communicate or we write, you know, how we want it, how we write. But we're not writing or communicating how we want people to perceive it or take it or look at it. So I think that that's the key thing. And if you're doing something in person, I think it's all about body language. Being in HR all of these years, you know, I have learned to look at people's body language, you know, looking at how they're responding to me. And if they're not responding to me how I think they should be responding, then that's when you need to kind of change what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, you take a look at it, and that's assessing yourself and assessing your audience. And if you do not, you know, kind of change that, you know, take a different route to trying to engage your audience, then that means that you're not in tune to your audience. You're not paying attention.
Yeah. And what kind of tips would you give parents who want to instill a little more self-confidence and a little more self-esteem in their children? Because we're living in a world where, you know, social media is front, left, and center. It's the first thing we do in the morning, and sometimes it's the last thing people do at night. But we have a lot of children, like you say, they might be extremely intelligent and have a great academic degree, but if they go for a job, they can't look at somebody in HR, I make eye contact, and speak. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where self-esteem and self-confidence comes in.
Absolutely. So in my book, I have something that's called The Five Love Languages of Employee Engagement. But we're going to just tweak it a little bit for this conversation and say The Five Love Languages of engagement. And so what it talks about how people like to be affirmed, how they love to be recognized, because how I love to be recognized and how I love to be affirmed may be different from my peer or from someone else. So I think that it's a daily affirmation, it's daily encouragement, it's daily mentoring. Because in our society now, you cannot miss a beat. You need to make sure that you're giving them that daily inspiration, that daily motivation. Listening to what they have to say. Not listening to give your opinion, but listening to understand. That's the key. And I think that so many times that we're listening to people and we're not really listening, but we're thinking about what we're going to say to them, the advice that we're going to give to them. And most of the time, people just want you to listen and understand where they're coming from. So I think with students nowadays, because we have so much bullying in the school because they're different, it's okay to be different. It's great to be different. That's what the world is built on, being different. So therefore, I think it's that encouraging and letting them know, yes, you are different, but guess what? You're different for a reason. There's a purpose for you being different. There's a purpose for, you being here and making sure that they realize what that purpose is and just engaging them. I think that's the most important thing that we can do for our kids today.
Yeah, I guess listening is the key. You know, our show here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we're always talking about education and opportunities. And for my friends who are tuning in this morning, we're speaking with Cassandra Watts, and her book is called Leading from Within, Leading with a Purpose. And boy, you have used your life experience to really find your purpose. Now, talk to us a little bit about your favorite chapters in the book. I know the book has a lot of chapters, but there has to be certain ones that stood out to you more than others.
Yes, so I have two, and the first one is my pillars of self-awareness, because I think that that's where it begins. That's because that's what the book is about, and that's where your self-assessment begins. And it goes through four different pillars. And the first pillar is self-equity. And that's just, you know, taking a look at what your internal and your external skills are that defines your leadership ability. And it's just going through and assessing those. The next one is self-accountability. How are you going to hold yourself accountable, you know, to make sure that you're going to do what you say that you're going to do and to make sure that you are going through this exercise of your self-equity and making sure that you stay on track. And then self-change. What strategy or goals will you create to increase your self-equity or your inventory? And then the self-inventory is, what does your leadership inventory look like? I'll give an example. Do you have relationship building skills? Do you have communication skills? What does your communication skills look like? How are you going to increase that inventory? The more inventory or self-equity that you have, that will dictate where you are as a leader. So the more internal skills that you have, that will assist you in being an effective leader. The second chapter, or there's another chapter that I like, is called the build model. And what that is, I'm really big on building relationships. And I think that the first, it is an acronym, it's build, but let's say the first one is bond by making yourself visible. So many times we go into an organization or a relationship and we're not visible to everyone. We must be transparent with our actions and our decisions. That's the only way that you're going to get people to trust you. And then understand the culture and workforce by soliciting feedback, analyzing issues and concerns. And then the I is for involve all levels, position levels, in creating solutions by creating focus groups. So many times we as leaders try to do everything by ourselves. We do not know everything, and I think that that's one thing that we as leaders need to, you know, make sure that we know, that we do not have all of the answers to everything, and we need to solicit feedback. And then listen to understand with an objective ear. That's very important. Too often we hear people, but we are not listening.
Boy, that is true.
That's true even at home in marriages and with your children, with your neighbor.
Exactly. And then the D is for direct communication. Be forthcoming with decisions, and then be clear regarding objectives and goals. So not only, and I always tell people, this book not only can help you in your professional life, but if you look at it, it can help you in your personal life, in your relationship. So if you just look at it that way and just kind of make it your own. And there's challenges in the book as well that assist you in making sure that you understand what you've read and to apply those principles of leading from within.
Like self-assessments kind of thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And there's different little exercises that you can, and there's fun exercises. You can do them, but you can, they're group exercises or single exercises.
That's amazing. So, Miss Cassandra Watts, how does it feel to have your book, Leading with a Purpose, Leading from Within, Leading with a Purpose, number one internationally in 10 different categories in business management and leadership?
Woohoo!
Oh my goodness, it felt wonderful. I was like, oh my gosh, you could have seen me every day. I was looking at it, and then when it finally was, I finally saw when it came out, the number one internationally, oh my gosh, it felt so wonderful. And it felt like, you know what, I did this, it was a purpose for me writing the book, and now everyone sees that purpose and understands that purpose, but it made me feel like people were listening and they actually got what I was trying to tell them, you know, that they understood what I was trying to tell them.
It sounds like you put your body, mind, and spirit and all the great senses that the good Lord gave us to eat and think and sleep and walk and talk, you put it all into the book, and you're saying that you can't do it alone. Other people have those senses as well. And if you need to bring them along with you and lift them up, you do it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And this is for, just like I said, this is not only, you know, for your professional life, but it can also help you in your personal life when you're in those relationships, because it talks about communication. It talks about, you know, analyzing your internal self. And if you look at it, all of us are leaders and at something. We all are leaders. But the question is, how effective are we in those roles, regardless of whether or not it's personal or professional?
Yeah. I noticed you posted a video by Sunil Shetty, I think, where he was talking about his wife being late. And I learned something from that video. I like him and I follow him sometime, but mm-hmm. it made a lot of sense because he was judging his wife for being late. And I judge people as well sometimes when they're late. But the content of that video was more or less about recognizing that she might be late, but she has other hidden talents.
Absolutely.
And you have to build on it. So I think what you're doing too, you're saying you could be a great leader, but there's other things that comes along with that.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's not just those hard skills that you must have. It is the internal skills as well. It's how you treat people. It's how you mentor and train, you know, people. It's how you communicate, how you build those relationships. And like I said, it doesn't matter if you have 3-4 degrees. It doesn't matter your experience. If you do not know how to treat people, how to train people, you're running a business, your business will not be successful because your staff, they're unhappy because of how they're being treated. So therefore, we as leaders, we need to make sure that we look at what ourselves first and make sure that we are the best for others in order for us to see the best in other people. And so that's my motto.
Yeah,
I love that motto.
I know. I'm gonna write that down and save it in my phone so I could throw it around and sound very smart. So, you know, but I'd love to have you on again because you're so uplifting. People like you, you know, it's like a rare gem because you're not just lifting yourself up. You're bringing so many people along with you, and you've put your heart and soul into this book so you could create more leaders, not just for the United States, but for the world. So I give you an A+ for that. So give us the website or the Facebook page one more time so that our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends could check you out.
Okay, so the Facebook page is the name of the book, Leading From Within, Leading with a Purpose, or you can find it under my name. It's Cassandra Houston, and Watts was my maiden name, but Cassandra Houston, and you'll be able to see that and go in there and see some things that I post about the book, and I'm also on LinkedIn.
Yeah, you know, before you leave, I just wanted our listeners to know that you also made such an impact with your work history because it includes manufacturing, nonprofits, mm-hmm. healthcare, so many other things, and your experience in HR is over 20 years. So in order
Absolutely.
To write this book, you've come across a lot of people from all walks of life in all different professions.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I must say that, you know, without the encouragement of my family and friends, and of course, you know, where I work, Covenant Living in Turlock, they have been so inspiring and just behind me 100%. And I just want to say thank you to them and to my mom and to my son, James. They've just been a real big encouragement, and all of my family and my sisters.
Yeah, and where's the book being sold?
It's on Amazon. You can find the book on Amazon. Just type in Leading From Within, Leading With a Purpose, and it is on Amazon right now.
Well, thank you. Our world need more people like you right now. So we're going to go to a quick commercial break. And Cassandra Watts, it was a pleasure to have you call in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We will be right back after these messages.
Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud9, that's Cloud number 9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud9
Mattress and Furniture. When you need medical care, you need it fast. MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 13 locations, including one in Volusia County. With so many MedFast Urgent Care centers, there is a MedFast near you. MedFast offers top quality care that is close by, and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MedFast, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST.
Are you longing for a taste MedFast of Louisiana? Lizette's Cajun Bistro is the place to be. They offer Cajun and Creole staples as well as American, vegan, and vegetarian options. The restaurant is located at 2447 North Wickham Road, Unit 146. All menu items are prepared daily from scratch and made to order. Dine in or take out as well as outside seating. Live music on selected weekends. So the next time you have a taste for Louisiana, stop by Lizette's Cajun Bistro. 2447 North Wickham Road.
Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low cost sandwiches and baskets to high end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at DixieCrossroads.com.
Is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Choctaw Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345. Located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne, that's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at
There's
Jotkoff
something special
Financial
about the
Group
place
today.
We call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida, we are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and on the World Wide Web at WWBC. All our shows are posted on the Sita Media Inc. website. You can go there and listen to our podcast of just about any show that we've had for the last 14 years. Some Ellen may have archived, but the most recent ones are there. And our station has all the shows on their website as well.
She set it up, too, so that you can search by topic now.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes. So that's since that's a whole lot of shows to look through.
Thank you for that information, Allie. So our second segment is with a favorite volunteer of mine, Mr. Bob Barnes, who is the founder of Aspiration Academy. And he's going to talk to us a little bit about why he decided that even though he's retired, that he would donate the rest of his time. He wants to live to be 175 years to
Good.
Aspiration Academy.
That'll work.
So welcome to our show.
Delighted to be here.
It's such a pleasure to have you and your experience as well, and all the positive things you are doing for children to help them with their education and offer opportunities for them here in Brevard County, Florida.
The future of America is not in what politicians say it is. It's in our children. And if we take care of our children and their nutritional needs, and we take care of our children and their educational needs, our country will do fine. Unfortunately, we're not accomplishing too much in either one of those aspects. Many kids in America are going hungry. Many kids in Brevard County are relatively uneducated. And this in spite of the fact that we have a pretty good school system, in spite of what I've just said, compared to other school systems in Florida, and especially compared to other school systems around the country.
Right. So, Mr. Barnes, give our listeners a little bit about yourself. Like, why did you get involved, and how did you get involved, and what did you do in your prior life?
Well, in my prior life, I was mostly in broadcasting and advertising and marketing most of my life. And owned a radio station in Tampa, traffic reporting services. And the sad part about my wonderful rise was the fact that I got quite sick a good number of years ago, and I was virtually bedridden for a couple of years and had to sell off everything, you know, that I had, and changed the course of my life, but I think for the better. And these things always happen for the better. But the ultimate change that happened was when I retired close to a quarter century ago. I decided to spend my life writing, and that took a twist when I found out that kids were hungry, which is how I got the inspiration to found the Children's Hunger Project, which is now about 14, 15 years old. And
you're amazing. Thank you so much.
Well, I get the thanks, but I must tell you that the real key to our success are people who are doing the actual work, like Cheryl Kaminsky, our executive director. She's in a position now where our charity now is in 50 Brevard schools, and we're providing a weekend package of food for almost 4,000 kids every single week. And it's a remarkable success story to tell, to say the least. And it's thousands of volunteers through the years that flow through the charity that give of themselves and their treasure and their hearts. We have 70 different churches that have supported us almost from day one, that a part of their treasure and their congregation's treasure. So while you thank me, I accept it, and I thank you, and I'm not trying to create a false.
Yeah, but you got a team of volunteers.
They do.
Yes,
all the work.
And they're the ones that's bridging that gap between the people that need it and the wrapping of all the things they do at the Hunger Project. I know I've been there before. So we were having like this discussion before about what exactly is the parents' responsibility in contributing to their kids' education? Because you're saying that the statistics of children who cannot read is astronomical.
It's remarkable. It's hard to believe that in Brevard County, the majority of minority students cannot read at grade level. And right here in Brevard County, the answer to your question as it relates to the parents, the foundational responsibility for the education of a child is the parent. If it's a single parent household, it's a two parent household, if it's the family collectively with grandparents helping bringing up the children, it is their responsibility for their children's education with the assistance of Brevard Public Schools.
Right, right.
But too many parents feel that it is the responsibility of the schools to educate their children, and they wash their hands and they walk away. And that's a disaster for the children.
Right. That's a recipe for disaster for any way in the world.
Yeah.
You have to do it in conjunction with the school.
No question.
And I think what we're seeing a lot is behavior problems. And a lot of people would say, well, kids are coming out of COVID and they were home for a long time. While that might be true, you still see the difference between the children whose parents are involved and volunteering in the schools and helping, and the kids that don't.
There's no question about it. Here in Brevard County, we have a microcosm of different religions and groups that are different than other people within Brevard County as it relates to how they are doing success-wise. The doctors, the attorneys, the lawyers, the professional people, the educators, the successful business people, they all have something in common. Both their parents were actively involved in their upbringing, primarily in their education, and they are actively involved in their children's education. And if I'm allowed to mention the different groups, I'm happy to do so.
Yes, of course you can, because the whole idea behind our show, it is community radio. We have such a responsible voice. But what's the use of having a radio show if you're not able to help people? And if you see something, you say something.
I agree.
And if you can help our listeners through your experience and what you've learned, of course, by all means.
Well, you take a look at, for instance, in Brevard County, there's a good number of Muslim religion people that are here, and you will rarely find their children in the crime statistics.
Or Hindus,
exactly right. You will find a small contingent. There's only about 8,000 Jews in Brevard County. And you look at the various businesses and doctors and stuff. You take a look at the people from India and the success that they've enjoyed in Brevard County, both from a business and professional standpoint. And then you take a look at the Asian community. Now, what do those four groups have in common?
Family.
That's exactly right. That's the whole key to everything. Those four groups believe that education is the primary focus of a parent. And when a parent puts their children's education first, only wonderful good things happen. When the parent says, well, it's the school's job to educate my children, first of all, that's a fool speaking, and unfortunately the child winds up being another generational example of foolishness.
So, you know, a lot of us say if you fix the educational system, which is a solvable problem,
yes,
you fix the future.
Everything.
At least you try to, right?
You do.
So what is it about, you know, like I've seen parents who, when their kids are in sports and they throw a basketball, they throw a party. They're jumping for joy. How come those same people don't have the same joy for academics?
Well, we've grown up in a society whereby if a person is in a low-income job, they are usually in a low-income job because they're not educated and qualified for a higher-income job. Not complicated to figure this out. So it isn't as if those are bad parents. You know, that poor parent wants just the same wonderful good things for their child as you want for your child, Cedar, and is what I want for my children and grandchildren, and soon to be great-grandchildren. The difference is that we understand that the value of education is what's going to determine the success. Unfortunately, if you don't understand the value of education, if you're not brought up in a family that understands, even if you're poor, you can understand the value of an education. If you don't get that when you're a child, you don't know that when you're
an adult. I always say the value of an education or the value of trade.
Yes.
I mean, a plumber charges $150 an hour.
And deserves it.
But his father was a plumber before him.
Yep.
And someone taught him that, hey, when you graduate high school, I can teach you this.
Yes.
Well, isn't it all about, like the lady before was saying, living by example?
Yes, of course.
Right?
Yes.
So, but one of the things that you talk about, Mr. Barnes, is that overall, you feel as though the education system in Brevard County is pretty darn good.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with Brevard Public Schools.
Mm-hmm.
I have a problem with the parents of children in Brevard public schools. That's where the problem lies. We take the public school system off the table. They are not the problem. The problem is parental engagement. If a parent wants to participate and go to football games and be joyful when their son scores a touchdown, I'm all for it because I'm in favor of sports. But we do not show that same joy and excitement for the educated child as we do for the quarterback.
Right, yeah, and there's no hip hip hooray for the other kid.
Exactly.
Yeah. So Mr. Barnes, help me to understand. You're seeing a lot of children that come to your program at Aspiration Academy that are enrolled in the public school, have the same opportunity as other children, but they can't read. They can't write.
Well, not in the Aspiration Academy portion. The Aspiration Academy actually is a small group of children that are chosen at our pilot school, which is University Park Elementary School. Anna Diaz is the principal. And these are children that have a little extra passion for learning and understanding. So what we do and what we provide for them are things in our after-school program that the public schools, quite frankly, just simply cannot afford to do. For instance, we have arrangements with the Space Coast Symphony Orchestra and Aaron Collins, where musicians will come in and the children will be able to touch and speak with the musicians. We work closely with the Brevard Library System. Wendy Boss runs a terrific program there, whereby they come on out, the children can get their own library card and check out books for themselves, independent of what they might do anyway.
And you're boosting their self-confidence while you do too, and their self-esteem.
No
question. When I went to school, those were called field trips.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, the whole class went.
Well, yes, you do indeed, but there's a difference when you go as part of a class. It's a little more intimate in a small group or when you go with your parents.
Yeah.
And they're holding your hand and your parents are setting the example. I go to the library all the time, one of the branches live out in West Melbourne, and there's always parents in there with their children. I find that so joyful because the children are getting the learning experiences. But there are many parts of our community where the parents don't understand the value of reading. They're not, once again, they're not bad parents. I'm not pointing fingers.
I think the word value is so interesting.
Yes.
Because when you put value on something, it opens up the world for you and that child.
And the value of expectations is critical also.
Well, I think that's the difference with a lot of cultures. Like the Indian culture expects that.
Yes.
It's like, I'm bringing you into this world, I'm carrying you for 9 months, but this is what I expect from you, right?
And that's the way it should be.
Right, and you say, I've read where you've said that there are certain segments of society, groups of people who are bonded by culture and education and religion, and they understand the value of an education.
That's exactly the whole key. And if we can get to the point.
So why can't other people see that? Like, you don't have to be a brain scientist to see that your child is in a class with XYZ and this one is doing better. You could just go to those parents and say, tell me what you're doing different than I'm doing. They don't communicate.
They don't communicate. They're, you know, you take a difference in culture and people are not comfortable talking to people who look differently or different color, speak a different language, have a different religion. So those are intricate parts of the human psyche, and that's always going to be a problem. But if you ask why they don't observe, if you feel there's a reason your child is not succeeding and you don't include yourself in that evaluation, there's no sense in going any further, because that's where the problem is. It's not just simply watching someone else. You, as the poorest parent in Brevard County, can say to your child at the end of the day, after you have worked 3 jobs and you're exhausted and you've made dinner and you're about to put your kids to bed, little child, how did you do in school today? Tell me what the teacher taught you. That's parental engagement. You may not be able to have time to show up for the PTA meeting. I understand that. You may not be able to have time to go to a teacher's conference because you're working 2 jobs, a single mom. I understand all those things. But you can communicate with your child so that your child understands that mommy thinks education is important.
And valuable.
And valuable.
Yes,
right.
Exactly right. And that's where it starts. The school cannot do that.
Right.
And if the parent does not accomplish that parental engagement,
Everything else is zero.
Exactly right.
And Allie, you've said before about your parents literally watching everything you guys did as small children.
We would sit at dinner, and even if dinner was just 30 minutes, you know, just quickly sit down to eat, and we were asked, what happened at school today? And then just answering, oh, we were fine. No. My parents wanted specifics. Show me a piece of paper. Show me your math class. How did that math test you were going to do go? What's your next theme going to be written on? It was all focused on that, and it made a huge difference. And the other thing, both of my parents praised me in front of me to their friends.
Yeah, praise and encouragement.
Yes.
Well, you know, one of the things Mr. Barnes talk about is we're spending so much time and energy worrying about the infrastructure. But in India, you have kids learning under a tree.
Of course.
They're doing good. And you said that one of our presidents, was it Abe Lincoln?
Abraham Lincoln.
Any air conditioning. So explain to our listening audience and viewpoint with CDEM friends why we want the kids to be comfortable on their bus and in their school and have a beautiful building. You're saying focus a little bit more on the academics.
Well, academics is the key. But I don't blame Brevard Public Schools for this, and I don't blame the school board, because when money comes down from Tallahassee, it's politicians making decisions as it relates to education, and politicians are having the strings attached. So it's not simply where a school superintendent can simply say, well, let's take $1 million from the air conditioning and building budget and put it into, you know, tutoring for kids that are struggling. Those options are not as simple as they sound, and it's a little more complicated. But I want to point out the fact that even though I'm pointing out this lack of parental engagement, there are people in the community that are trying to do something about this. I work very closely with a fellow named Bernard Bryan. Bernard Bryan is a 30-year retired engineer, I think, from Rockwell. His wife is a professor. Bernard is the education chair of the South Brevard NAACP, and he is actively involved with others in the community. They're trying to change the concept of education through parental engagement. So I talk about it because I love talking about education.
But you're right. You're on point.
Yes.
I mean, even like if my granddaughter said, Nanny, before you leave the planet, we need to have your recipe for the curry chicken. They developed a love for that. Mm-hmm. Because if we sit together as a family, we eat, we talk about it, and we talk about history and India and the grandparents and all this. So we're having this big discussion in our country and in Florida today about banning of books.
Mm-hmm.
So as an experienced gentleman, and you've seen this a lot, what do you say to the parents who are, rightfully so, they're concerned about certain books being banned? What would you say to them as that relates to their children's education and putting value on what's going on with the public school?
Well, first of all, Democrats and Republicans individually have to take a step back and not look at it only from a political standpoint. You can't simply say, I'm a Democrat, therefore DeSantis is wrong.
Right.
You can't simply say, I'm a Republican, therefore the president is wrong.
Use your mind. Be open-minded and listen to both sides.
I have a simple test. If a book has wording in it that the school board will not allow to be read out loud at a school board meeting, or if it has words in it that your pastor, priest, rabbi, or imam would not allow you to read from the pulpit, then that book should not be available for children who are not old enough to understand those words. It's that simple. If you collectively say, am I against banning of books? Yes, I am. But that doesn't mean I'm not in favor of banning a pornographic material
or
book from a child.
Yes,
exactly
yes.
Right. These are so simple, but we're looking at it strictly from an emotional standpoint. Let the parent make the decision as it relates to what they feel is appropriate.
But a parent who read that book, some of the parents are not even reading the books. They haven't read it. They have no intention of reading it. But like you say, because it's political, they're choosing a side.
Of course. And it's absolutely
ridiculous.
And you've
got to read ridiculous. The
book, right? You have to read the book in the context, you know. Huckleberry Finn has a word that I won't use, you know, on the air. That is that when it was used at the time, And the word was not used in the pejorative way in which it is used today. So the whole context of the N-word
yes.
is different than it was 100 years ago.
Right. I remember.
You have to look at some of these things sometimes in the context of the times and when they were written.
And another thing you talk about, Mr. Barnes, and we have 2 minutes left for the segment, is so many people are worried about the law enforcement in the schools. But you're saying, don't worry so much. Worry about what behaviors are going on in your home and in your child's life, and try to get little Johnny and Susie ready at home to face another day in public school by changing your attitude and your behavior.
No question about it. If you take a child before they're 10 years old and you have them well-versed in character, respect, decency, understanding, and an appreciation of learning, that child will not be the troublemaker in school ever in the rest of their life.
And I love what you said about the uneducated lower-income parents. So with the remaining time, expand on that, because I think a lot of people think, oh, he doesn't understand a single mom. He doesn't understand the person working 2 and 3 jobs. You sure do, but you're trying to say put value on the right things.
No question. The fact that someone is uneducated doesn't make them a bad person. And they want just the same, the best for their child as the well-educated person. And what I'm simply saying is that the welfare of the child has to come first. And the parent is the key to the welfare.
After all, we brought him here. So, Mr. Barnes, give us your website in case we have any listeners who are tuning in that would like to volunteer time, energy, effort, and some money towards helping the Aspiration Academy.
Well, there's 2 charities. One of them, very simply, aspirationacademy.org. That's aspirationacademy.org. And my original charity is simply thechildrenshungerproject.org.
And any events coming up that we should know about?
Well, you have to go to the website. There are so many of them that would take the rest of your time.
Wow, what a great segment. I'm definitely going to have you back because it's so interesting to have conversations with like-minded people, but are people who have experience and could add knowledge and value to our show. Our show today was great with Cassandra Watts calling in from L.A. and with Mr. Bob Barnes, who was right here in good old sunny Palm Bay, Florida, doing his thing with Aspiration Academy. The book that Cassandra wrote, and it is a #1 best-selling book. It's called Leading from Within, Leading with a Purpose, and it's internationally on 10 different categories for business management and leadership. Thank you, Mr. Bob Barnes, and thank you, Cassandra. Thank you, Allie, for co-hosting.
Thank you.
Thank you, Danny,
what a great
for running
day.
The board.
Thanks, Danny, running the board.
Father, hey, help me now.
Superstar.